This week, I've been thinking about what does it take to be a better Christian? I don't think there's any of us here this morning that would not want to be better. We strive for that. I always say, I want to be better today than I was yesterday. I want to be better as a Christian. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better husband. And a lot of times I fail at those things, even as a pastor. I know that's shocking to most of you. But I always want and strive to be better. And I think that's what God expects of us. It's not that we're perfect people. He just wants us to strive for perfection, which really means strive for maturity. When you look at the translations in the Greek writings, really that word perfection is really in the same phrase as maturity. And he wants us to strive to be more mature. And some of us are just infants in Christ. It depends on when you got saved. It has anything to do with age. It has all to do with your level of understanding who God is. And we'll never get there. You know, Paul's like, I haven't attained it all, even months before his death. He didn't understand it all, but he says, I strive. I keep pressing forward for maturity, and I'll understand it when I get to heaven. That was Paul's thoughts. And so our text this morning is in Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 through 28. And so it says, whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, Jesus has called us for a purpose, and he's called us to serve one another. And, I talked about being a part of the one another's. But in fact, he tells us if we want to be great, we must become a servant. And why should we serve one another? That's kind of the big question. What's the purpose of it? Why should we go out of our way to help anybody? Well, because we're created to serve. Amen? We're created to serve. The Bible says that the reason that I was saved was for good works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. That's the reason you were saved, is to do good things. Amen? When Christ was here, he came here and he'd done good things, right? And then Jesus said, now you go and do what I did. Go and be like me as much as you can. And so, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we know we should walk in his workmanship because we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Amen. That's why we were saved. And so I would say, if you have your Bibles open, circle that word created in Christ Jesus for good works. Remember that right there, because anytime you think you don't have a purpose in your life, remember that scripture. If you're a believer in Christ, you were created in Christ Jesus, right? That's big right there, all on its own, right? That's important. But you're also created to do good works. And I know that works doesn't get you to heaven. You can do all these things without Christ, but he says in Christ. See, remember, there's a difference between being in Christ and not in Christ. There's a difference between knowing maybe there's a God than actually really knowing that you're actually serving God. Because let me tell you, when you're saved, you have no questions about your salvation. You hear me? If you're truly saved, you have no questions about your salvation. Because you know you're saved. Because why? Because God did a good work in you. And that good work that he did in you, he'll continue that good work in you. And he won't, so circle that word created, because you were created to do good things. And, I think this message is for all of us this morning. And I preach this to myself, right? That's where I do most of my practice, is on myself. And I have to. We who are in Christ Jesus are here so we can do good works. And if you're a Christian this morning, then we're created for service. And serving is evidence that you belong to Christ. You know that? If you belong to Christ, you'll do good things. If you belong to Christ, you'll serve people. Why? Because that's what Christ did. And if Christ is in you, then you'll do what Christ did. You'll have a desire to do what Christ did. The Bible says that as Christians, that we should bear fruit. We should bear fruit to God. In Romans chapter 7, verse 4, it says that. And then also in John 15, 8, the Bible goes on to say, my Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. You hear that? We are designed to do good things and to produce good fruit. God says that the way that you know that you're a part of the body of Christ is that you serve others. It comes natural to you when the Holy Spirit lives in you. You know, a non-serving Christian is really in contradiction to the word. You hear me? A non-serving Christian is really contradiction in terms. There's no such thing, really. Serving others is the way we serve God. And no matter what you're doing, you need to ask this question, why am I doing this? Is it self? You're doing it for yourself or you're doing it for God? There's going to be a reason why you do the things that you do. And I guess the even better question is, who am I doing it for? Are you doing it for the Lord? Or as Christians, everything you do should be done for the glory of God, right? Isn't that what the Scripture tells us? The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, whatever you do, do it enthusiastically, okay? This is the HCSB translation. And whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. We should do it. I like that enthusiastically. That's a big word. I didn't want to mess it up. I practiced that word a couple of times. Sometimes I struggle with that, you know. But, you know, I like that. When you come to church, do it enthusiastically. Right? That's part of our service to God is we gather together as a body of Christ, and we do that enthusiastically. There's nothing wrong with that, right? It's not that we're dancing and jumping on pews and running around circles. That's enthusiastically too, I guess. But we just, the desire is, when we praise and when we worship God, we do it for His glory. We do it with emotion, as it's done for the Lord. Everything we do is to be done as if it's done for God. And when we serve others, we should picture that we are serving Jesus when we do so. You know, He said this in Matthew 25, 40, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. You remember that? You do everything that you do for the Lord. Whether it's at your job, you do it for the Lord. You do it for the Lord. As I said earlier, you'll be known by your fruits, by the fruit you produce. That's how people know that you're different, that Christ lives in you. Humble, willing service to others is the same thing as serving God. It's part of our service to God, giving back. We could never repay what Christ did for us. But our service to Him is how we prove that we love Him. And it's how we show other people in our communities and other people around us that we really, truly love God is by serving others. I got a riddle. We each have the same amount, but we each have a different amount. What is it? You guys got that one? Time. It's time. We each have 24 hours in the day, yet each of us have a different lifespan, don't we? 1 Corinthians 15, 58 says this, and I read this out of the Message translation. I know she's going to have it a little bit different, but you can read both translations. It says, throw yourselves into the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for Him is a waste of time or effort. I like that. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The things we do have a purpose, have a meaning, and they mean something, right? If you shovel snow out in the parking lot, that has value to it. I know the ones who showed up yesterday to shovel, they didn't come here because they loved it. Amen? Shoveling snow is not easy work. Matter of fact, on the news, they always say this, that more people have heart attacks during shoveling snow than they do any other, effort that they make, any other kind of work project. You know, it's always shoveling snow. That's, why I don't like doing it. You know, if you pick up a piece of trash on your way into the church house, let me tell you, that's not worthless. It seems like it may be worthless, but let me tell you, it's a value. Anything that you do, if you open the door for somebody who needs help, that means something. You know, as a church, we have these things that need to be done around here, and it's not something that you have to do. It's something that you do because you love God, right? That's the way it should be. You want to see your church to be the best that you can, because you thank God. I thank God every day that we have such a beautiful church house. We have nice chairs to sit in. We have air conditioning. We have heat. Our heat was off here in the church for about 3 days. Power was out. But praise God, nothing was hurt. No water lines froze, and we got our power back on. I praise God for that. But it'd be nice if I'm glad we don't have to go outside to have church, right? Some people do. Over in Africa and other places, they do. But you know what they do? They still serve God enthusiastically. They still go. You can see pictures of churches gathering this Sunday morning, and they'll be out underneath a tree somewhere, and there'll be hundreds or 1,000 people out there crowded as close as they can get together just to praise God in our foreign countries. Yet sometimes we struggle. We struggle. One flake of snow hits the parking lot, and we're ready to cancel. I mean, it happens, doesn't it? It happens. And I'm not trying to beat up anybody. I hope not. I hope you don't take it that way. I'm just saying that whatever you do, if you do it for the Lord, it's not worthless. It's not worthless at all. No matter what it is, it's not meaningless. The Bible says, whatever you do, if it is done to the glory of God, it all counts, doesn't it? It's not so much what you do, it's the question of who you're doing it for. So, sometimes we get a bad attitude, don't we? Sometimes I get a bad attitude. Sometimes I get complacent. Sometimes I want things my way. Sometimes I want to see things my way. You hear me? I think we all are that way sometimes, aren't we? Well, I want to see, things happen, and when they don't happen, I'm like, I get frustrated. What makes a great servant different is the way we use our time too. Are you using your time to serve others, or are you using your time to serve yourself? Most of the time, if we're not serving others, we're serving ourselves, aren't we? Serving gives my life a purpose. I always feel better after doing something good for somebody, even though I'm not patting myself on the back, but I just feel good. You know? Although every now and then a guy does like, a feller or a fellette, let me say, we do like a pat on the back every now and then, don't we? We like to be encouraged. And I'm glad, I am just blessed to have people in my life that are good encouragers, that are always sending a message or giving me a phone call or just great encouragers, and it helps my day. It really does. By serving others, we find out who we really are. And we see that in Mark chapter 8, verse 35. It says self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to saving yourself, your true self. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. You hear that? You know, the things that we do, we may think we've lost a half a day when we have to go do something for somebody else. And that happens. But let me tell you, we haven't lost anything. We've gained. We've gained when we do that. I don't pity people who are overwhelmed in service. Sometimes we do get overwhelmed, don't we? Sometimes we get in over our head. But I happen to know that those have found value in their lives are the ones who serve the most, because they find value in serving others. In fact, they're the people that are most alive because they have something, they have a purpose, they know that purpose when they're serving others. I think service makes our life meaningful. Service makes our life better. So what is a servant? A servant is humble, right? What is humility? It's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. You hear me? Humility is when you're so focused on serving other people that you don't even think about yourself. The Bible says there in 1 Peter 5:5, be clothed in humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So a servant also is compassionate. And when we think about compassion, we think of sympathy. Sympathy is really when you say, I'm sorry that you're hurt, but empathy is when you say, I'm sorry I hurt you, and I hurt with you. But when we think about compassion, it's when you say, I'll do anything I can do to stop your hurt. You hear me? We're good at sometimes is patting people on the back and say, I'll pray for you when they're hurting. But it's different when you hurt along with them and they know that and they feel that. And you do whatever it takes to stop their hurt. Sometimes that's not possible. But it's just the feeling that when people know that you're there for them and you're praying, you're truly praying, not just saying it with your lips, that you really mean it. It always makes life better. You know, Jesus is our true example of what compassion really is. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, it says, and when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. You know, a Christian servant is also faithful. A servant obeys God, and not out of convenience, but out of conviction. Yep. Let me tell you, nobody, I've said this before, we have to hold each other accountable, and I think that's good. Accountability is good. It's not always wanted. But let me tell you, if you do something wrong, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit will tell you what you did. And conviction comes on you, doesn't it? It's not about being convenient. It's about conviction. And God requires us to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in a servant that one be found faithful. Required? Man, that's a big word, isn't it? You mean God requires us to do things? John Wesley had this motto. His motto was, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. That's a big mouthful, isn't it? But it's really good. You know, a Christian servant focuses on helping others. And 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Right? We encourage each other and build each other up. You know, a great servant is not self-centered. A servant puts God and others before himself. And why do we need to do that? Why do we do that? Because Jesus gave up everything to come to earth to save us. Did he not? Why would we not? The Bible says Jesus gave up everything and became a slave when he became like one of us. Philippians 2:7. You know, I think many people aren't willing to give up anything, let alone everything. Jesus said, there's a cost to following me. You remember he had that discussion in the scripture? You want to follow me? You want to be my servant? Okay. You really know what that means. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you everything. Are you willing to give up everything for me? If you're not, you can't be my disciple. You can't. Does he ask us to give up everything? Not necessarily. But he wants us to be willing to give up everything if necessary. God wants us to have good things. God wants us to be happy and healthy, I think. You know, I think many struggle just to give up a couple hours on Sunday to gather with the church. We see that. It's hard to get people to come to church. Those who love God will go to church somewhere. But let me tell you, there's this generation of people today seems to be really far from connected to the church. There's a big indifference in the churches. And I'm not talking about just our church. I'm talking about any church. It's hard to convince people, to compel people to come to church. There's nothing there for them. And I wonder, you hear me this morning, I wonder if it just doesn't have to do with something about service. Does people see people who claim to be Christians being really true Christ followers? Or do they see people who just go to church for a couple hours and go home? No different than the world. No different from anybody else. No passion for the church. No passion for Christ. No passion to serve each other. It's all about self. It's all about me. This world that we live in today is really a spoiled generation. Because we don't need God as much. Because we have everything we need. Well, at least most of it. We have nice cars. Well, some of us do. We have nice homes. We have heat. I really don't know anybody anymore that doesn't have air conditioning, and even in the summertime. When I was a kid, there were a few people that didn't have air. But there's very few. There may be a few struggling. But most of us, we don't go without eating. I mean, yeah, there may be a time we've missed a meal. But I don't think it's been something we've really worried about. Let me tell you, struggling people is the ones who, man, they seek God, don't they? servant is not self-centered. A servant is concerned about helping others no matter what the cost is. I think you and I can be better Christians, don't you? I think we can be better. I put myself in that too because I strive to be better. I think we can be better servants. I think we can be loving and humble, kind and caring, and maybe open the door and say a kind word to somebody every now and then. It's easy. It's easy to not do that than it is to do that, isn't it? Most of the time we're so busy, we don't have time to open the door for anybody or wait. I laugh about it, but I'm the same way. You go to the grocery store and there's a big long line and it's just something, I got to get out of here. We're in such a hurry. Got to get home. Got to get home. That's why fast food places are so big business. People can't wait on a meal. Go through McDonald's, of course, nowadays, it's worse than it ever was, I think. I mean, waiting, I'll put it that way. It takes a long time to get your food through the drive-through. Right? I mean, it took, for them to give you a whole meal. I mean, it takes, literally at least 5 minutes. And that's just too much time to have to wait. At least you guys are smiling at me today. I don't want you to leave all, like church was great. What, somebody asked you, how was church today? It was great. We're all doomed, right? We're all horrible people. But it was great. Thank you, Pastor, for, like Trey said one day, he said something about preaching. He said, well, I wore my steel-toe boots today. Yeah, the food is so great. It's worth waiting 5 minutes. Yeah. Yeah. Don't get me started on McDonald's about my coffee and cream. I don't ever go there anymore. Oh, that's another story for another day. Let's be better. Let's be better Christians. Amen. Let's be who God called us to be. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in people's lives. Lord, I thank you for giving your life for us. Lord, you served us. And so, Lord, help us to be better. Lord, let your Holy Spirit abound in us. Let a fire kindle in our hearts. Let us leave here with a burning in our heart that we know is you, the Holy Spirit. Lord, guide and direct us in all that we do and keep us safe throughout this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.